This is the D-Word podcast, where we talk dementia. Welcome along to another edition of the D-Word podcast. Good to have your company. On this edition, we're going to be concentrating on dementia and the arts. There have been plenty of studies to demonstrate the positive impact the arts can have on people living with dementia. My guest, Maria Parsons from the Creative Dementia Arts Network, has a wealth of experience in the area. Well, Maria, welcome to the D-Word. Lovely to have you as my guest here on the show. Going to be talking about the Creative Dementia Conference, which is coming up in June. Before we do that, though, just give us a little bit of background about yourself.
Okay, thanks, Pete. I'm a social worker by background, and possibly, although your listeners can't see this, many decades ago in Brixton in the early 70s. Fascinating. I've always been fascinating with arts, music, dance and culture because I come from a different cultural background. My mother was Polish and my father's Ukrainian. I've always been interested in social justice and I think that led me towards care for people with dementia, people with mental health issues of one sort or another, particularly older people. And I went from there to becoming an academic head of social work. And at that point, dementia was not widely known about, and it was certainly stigmatized. This is in the 80s and 90s. And then a series of dementia services development centers were opened throughout the country. And I headed up one at Oxford Brookes University. And this provided information, consultancy, training, all sorts of ways of making dementia much more acceptable and much more part of life. This was the time of Tom Kitwood, who many of your listeners would know about, amazing pioneer of dementia just being very much part of us, part of who we are, and to treat people as individuals and personhood. So I've stayed there, but more recently, caring for my own mother with Parkinson's related dementia, I was able to pursue an interest in arts and set up Creative Dementia Arts Network. And it's Creative Dementia Arts Network that's currently partnering with an organisation, a cooperative benefit society called Dementia Community, and we're putting on the conference. So there we go.
That's it. Very good introduction, certainly. Yeah, and the dementia community, obviously, we know very well. We've had them on the show. I mean, it's all about promoting the benefits of arts for dementia. When people, use that phrase, the arts, it's a massive collective of things, isn't it? What are we talking about here when we just sort of, we blandly say the arts?
Yeah, it sounds nonsensical, isn't it, really? Let's get down to it. We're all creative in one way or another, and we don't stop being creative just because we can't remember things or we're not fantastic painters or whatever. The really important thing is to think about creativity in different ways and particularly creativity with a small c. We do things every day that are creative and help us to think and express ourselves in different ways, whether we're cooking or gardening or perhaps sewing or going for a walk in a park. I mean, these are all ways of being creative. When we think about creative arts, we're probably thinking about a whole lot of activities, some of which are pursued at amateur level, for example. I mean, we're just judging a Dementia Community National Arts Competition for people living with dementia and carers. And that's, people are amazing, and maybe see you painting at home as a hobby. So the arts are a wide range of activities They may be art in terms of digital arts, it may be craft, it may be sculpting. We may be involved in ceramics, and I'm just naming some of the things that I know people with dementia participate in local groups and communities. Dance, particularly, and music. There's a huge amount of music activities for people living with dementia and carers. Poetry, prose, drama, performance. Some arts are not participative as such, but they are in a different way. They're appreciative. What we know is that people with dementia every day are taking part in specially curated exhibitions. Exhibitions presented in ways that enable people to participate, even if they're not remembering things, or or they don't feel that they can really, enter a gallery and sort of look at paintings. Theatre. I put on a with the help of a fantastic grant, put on films, and there are films that take place every week where people with dementia are welcomed, and they're shown a different way. They're not so loud. They're supported by, people giving you ice creams and helping you to your seat. And there are many, many different ways in which people with dementia can take part in the arts.
One reaction, I suppose, a normal human reaction, perhaps. If someone said to me, paint a picture or sing, the first two things I'd say is, I can't paint and you do not want to hear me sing. But it's not really about that. It's about taking part, isn't it?
It's about taking part. And when we think about the benefits of taking part, it's about expressing yourself. If you can no longer really remember much about what you want to say, or can't quite remember how to get around somewhere, providing an outlet for providing something that you can perhaps take part in, you can see other people, and that's important. It's the social aspect of taking part in an activity that is extremely helpful. Because one of the things that happens in dementia is, particularly when people are feeling confused or anxious or a bit stressed, is having those relationships with other people. So that's what arts offers. It really offers an opportunity to be social and to continue being social and engaged in the local community. So ways of staying involved in the local community, perhaps a dance group, or perhaps, as people I know, going to an arts group, and people being with you and accepting you for what you are and who you are.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
All our shows here on UK Health Radio are available to listen again and download from the website ukhealthradio.com. Dementia and the Arts is our focus this week with my guest, Maria Barsons. I guess with that as well, he's not judging you for what you produce. So it's
absolutely not. Honestly, Pete, you could just hum along or do anything you fancy, or I went to a wonderful choir when I was still living in Oxford and running Creative Dementia from there. And certainly we went along, choir members went along, escorted people living with dementia to the choir. And it didn't matter if you wandered about the room, basically, or had the music upside down. I mean, you were part of that choir, and therefore people took account of who you were and how you were within that, and it's perfectly possible to do that.
And that, as opposed to effectively do it as well on a personal basis, you need to know a lot about the people as well, because one size does not fit all. It very much depends on the people and their past history and knowing all that information.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, and it's got to be meaningful. We often talk about the arts as though, as you said, one size fits everybody. But, we're all different. We're different individuals. We have, different things that we enjoy and want to be involved in. And that's where, for example, arts and care homes, often led by activity coordinators, really important because it's gaining an idea of someone's biography and what they are interested in and what they like doing, and and making quite sure that that's a fit because I'm not going to drag you along to painting or singing if you really don't want to do that, but there's probably something within what you enjoy doing in terms of a leisure activity or a pursuit that would suit you. So no, we're not dragooning people into activities they don't want to do. I mean, it's got to be part of who you are and what you want to do. But it's surprising, I'd say, that often there's a sort of sense in which people have got some degree of freedom. Well, once they see what's possible, my experience is that lots of individuals do try. And produce some amazing results, and really thrill themselves with what they can do.
Yeah, I guess you can give yourself a confidence boost. My art teacher said, unquote, "You'll never be an artist." And yet, probably, if I produce something now that someone said, "Oh, that's not half bad," I'd think back to that and say, "Oh, yeah, I think I've done quite well." And, if you're living with dementia, the whole world is a different and difficult place. Just getting that encouragement must be really important.
I think it is, Pete. We sometimes, if we fumble over, small things like losing our keys or forgetting where we put XYZ or forgetting why you come upstairs, you start feeling foolish, don't you? And you start feeling, oh my goodness, what's going on? Well, if you imagine that happening a bit more often, or that it actually has got to the point where you're not quite remember where you've left a car or whatever, and it the loss of confidence is astronomical, and these are small things, but they're very important things to people. So that losing your self-confidence, losing your sense of self-esteem, oh, I can do that. We all feel fairly capable and in some ways quite powerful about the way we get about the world, and if we can't do that anymore, then that's makes us feel very anxious and upset. And therefore, any avenue, any opportunity we've got for restoring some of that is very important.
No, we guess it's about equal involvement between the practitioners and the people living with dementia. And almost like, take a couple of examples. Well, what do you think of that painting? Or tell us your story. And again, as you say, that's a bit of empowerment, isn't it?
It is. It is, and obviously, it's important, especially for people who are leading these activities, to be co-producers. To get alongside the person living with dementia, and to have a sense of what to say, how to do that. I found training practitioners. Arts practitioners of one sort or another, dance, music, poets, and therapists who are obviously registered with the health and health C health C I always forget what it is, but Health and Professionals Council. So these are arts therapists. They've done that master's qualification, but everybody needs some training as to how to get alongside people living with dementia. I found that artists and dancers are remarkable. I think their training offers them insight into observation, observing people quite closely. And I've trained social workers as well. And I tell you, sometimes our arts practitioners really surprise us, and they're brilliant at getting alongside people and dancers and musicians. They know what to say and do. But training is very important, and training is actually, it's few and far between. The opportunities for training are practitioners, and that's something that we really do want to do more of. And we will be doing the skills workshops at the conferences, at the conference, to show good practice in working with people living with dementia. And of course, because people living with dementia are coming to the conference, it's going to be a really great opportunity to engage in all of that.
Yeah, and I think, that's really important as well because, when I kind of came into this world professionally, although I kind of a bit like you actually, I worked in public health and didn't hear the D word through the 80s really at all. I mean, dementia didn't exist as a public health issue. And then even when I started to get more involved, I spent a couple of years with the Alzheimer's Society, but the people that seemed to be notable by their absence in all the dementia meetings and everything else that I went to was people living with dementia. And I was the one that was sitting there thinking, well, why are the people that are the experts in this not actually in the room?
No, I agree. I agree. And that's why dementia community is different, because it's, the organization is for everyone, whether they're living with dementia, whether professionals, whether volunteers, commissioners and providers, everybody's welcome. And that's important because we can all share our expertise, and it's certainly not the experts all the time. We're listening to people living with dementia and to family carers, and particularly to family carers. I'd say we need to make more opportunities for family carers to become involved in arts and cultural activities as well. But it's often very, very difficult for them. I've just finished a handbook of good practice in terms of arts and dementia, co-edited with Richard Coton, a dance psychotherapist. And one of the interviewees, in a chapter called Working with Dementia, Creative Practitioners Tell the Story, is that a fantastic arts group for people living dementia. And the therapist who runs it locally here in Bristol, in a community garden, was saying that she was really hopeful that she'd do the work with family carers as well, but actually what they really wanted was respite, some respite time. And so I think that finding some way in which we can offer care for people living with dementia, so family carers can be involved in some of the arts and cultural activities that take place, it would be really important.
Yeah, and I guess, sharing that as a carer and the people you care for, if you've got a shared interest, it can also, draw people closer together. I mean, do you think, in terms of family carers, that when someone gets a diagnosis, it's a medical diagnosis done by a doctor, they get it written on, in my family case, two sheets of A4. They then get told, well, really, yeah, there are some drugs, but we don't really know what they're going to do. And thank you very much and goodbye. Whereas all the whole social arts aspects, everything, I mean, just from personal experience, we never got told about any of that. And the people I speak
Interesting.
to, a lot of people I speak to say, well, we actually didn't really see that. And also they seem to think, well, I suppose it's an inbuilt human thing. You get a cold and you say, I'm going to take this pill and I'm going to feel better. So you're automatically down the medical route. And in terms of a dementia diagnosis, you've put that as the highest level. And I sometimes feel with social interactions, be they the arts or whatever, they're not actually put on the same level as those medical interactions.
But they should be. They should be. I mean, we haven't got a cure for dementia at the moment. There are some effective treatments for some people, but they don't work all of the time. They're efficacious for a few years for a few people, and many people have reactions even to some of the newest ones, and they look promising, Pete. But I think that's why, decade or two ago, there was much more interest, and it's grown in non-pharmacological approaches to dementia. So, how can we best support people? Given the growth in prevalence, all over the world. I was at Alzheimer's Disease International last year in Poland, and talking to people from all over the world, of course, dementia's prevalence is increasing rapidly, and particularly in middle-income countries. So, what are we going to do on day two once we're diagnosed, Pete? That's the real question. We can. We need what we need is information. What we need is resources. We need access to those. And I think in dementia community, what we want to do and what we're moving towards is a central, a one-stop shop, a central place where you can find information and resources. I think some memory clinics are better than others in terms of signposting people who are diagnosed to support organisations like Alzheimer's Society or Age UK, and that's great. But the community or community resources, I mean, they are very variable. Social prescribing, for example, has started, some of our link workers have started to enable people living with dementia to be given an arts offer locally. But it's one heck of a complex system, and it's quite hard to get into. And going back to an earlier point you made very well, you have to be quite sure that if you're referring someone to or helping them get involved with the local group, that the local group has got sufficient understanding and support to welcome that person and help them to settle in and come along. And without all of that, you're setting someone up to fail, and that's the last thing people with dementia want. The other thing I'd say to you is that the National Institute of Clinical Excellence, Health and Clinical Excellence, NICE in other words, have actually now are now recommending and have recommended arts approaches for people living with dementia as a primary intervention, Pete. And that's quite something. It says, actually, before you reach for, sort of antipsychotic medication or whatever, think about ways in which you could support that person. And arts may be one part of that. And that's, I think that's a great step forward.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
On this edition of the D-Word podcast, I'm chatting to Maria Parsons from the Creative Dementia Arts Network. I mean, do you think also in terms of research that sometimes in terms of social interventions like the arts, it's difficult to measure success? I can remember when I ran six weekly activity groups with the Alzheimer's Society of people living in the community. And people said, how do you know that you're doing any good? And I said, well, everybody goes away with a smile on their face. Oh, yeah, but you've got to measure that empirically. And that always seems to hold social interventions back a little bit.
It is, isn't it, Pete? I mean, I know, and I'm glad we've got onto this because it's a real bone of contention. It's a bone of contention amongst, sort of outstanding researchers as well as you and I, sort of trying to find the right sort of outcomes that would satisfy, National Health Service empirical, gold standard type of measures. I mean, we have got better evidence, particularly for music. There's some excellent evidence for music and the power of music in terms of maintaining cognition and in terms of maintaining quality and, in fact, improving quality of life. There's some very good work being done. Dance as well coming up, and to a certain extent, the arts. But as you say, measures aren't everything, and providing people with an opportunity to smile and be stimulated even if just for a moment, and even if, when someone comes in again, they can't remember what happened last week, but, the emotions are there. Dementia destroys an awful lot of things and it's very cruel and arbitrary, but the power to be moved, the power to feel one's emotions is fundamental to the way we are as human beings. And that's where the arts really touches and connects.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've got to apologise, Maria. Actually, we started talking about the Creative Dementia Conference, and as is the wont with this programme, we've kind of gone round the houses. But it's been extremely interesting to do that. I mean, come back to the subject in mind. Just give us an idea what delegates can expect from the conference.
Well, delegates can expect, well, they can have it tailored too. That's the great thing, Pete. So the day is absolutely chock-a-block, but you can find your way through it if you want to listen to some of the presentations, which are about social prescribing, arts in care homes, arts in galleries, training. Self-care as practitioners, we don't look after practitioners terribly well, and they, arts does take an awful lot out of you if you're a dancer or a musician. Leaving a care home, I know, because obviously we offer supervision to our practitioners. So we've got some really interesting presentations, as well as the plenary. Jane Howard from the National Centre for Creative Health is coming along to talk about the NCCH and its work in terms of making creative health part of national health, right at the centre. So that's one parallel session that goes throughout the day. You can choose to do all some of those. On the other hand, if you'd like to join the really live workshop sessions, the participatory sessions, you can choose that. So you can do art, you can come along and take part in art. You can come along and take part in dance, including circle dance, music. We've got some fantastic, really great expert practitioners coming up from Hebden Bridge, London, Oxford. And they really are the outstanding folk of their of arts. So we've got sort of David Truslin, Ronald Amanso, who himself is living with dementia, and they do a fabulous workshop called Box of Smiles. We've got Liv McClellan doing circle dancing. We've got someone who works for Creative Dementia Arts Network, Kate Wilkinson, who's a multi-instrumentalist, and she works in hospitals and has worked on the music in wards. These are people who are really worth joining. So I want everybody out there that's listening to this to come along and choose what you want to do. Oh, and at lunchtime, we've got a fantastic lunchtime session about culturally appropriate resources in arts and dementia. And we've got a number of really fine films to show and discussions to have. You can network. The M Shed in Bristol is absolutely fabulous. We're on the second floor. You look over the harbour, it's light, it's just a wonderful environment for what we're going to do. And we've got some really good exhibitors and sponsors, really interesting. And this is across arts, technology, and all sorts of topics that are really important and support people living with dementia to take part in arts. So do come along. This is really important for you and your development. If you're a practitioner, whether you're a commissioner, whether you work in a theatre or work in a museum, do come along and take part.
So it's Tuesday, the 3rd of June, in the M Shed in Bristol. We'll put details on our social media channels, of course. I mean, interesting you mentioned technology because obviously, technology is allowing us to speak. It allows me to do this show. And technology plays a, it's playing an increasingly big role in the arts and a pretty vital one as well.
Yes, it is. I mean, besides, using technology, but as we can go back to the beginning and say people living with dementia, they don't stop being creative. They don't stop learning. I sit on a small community interest company called Frames of Mind. And what Bo and Zoe do is stop-go animation. They do all kinds of wonderful art on iPads, Procreate, using the Procreate program. And here's a shout out for them because, honestly, the work they do with people living with dementia and people living with dementia animating their favorite objects and seeing them and talking about them. I mean, it's another way of enabling people with dementia to express themselves. So we've got that aspect. We've also got people coming along to the conference who are great in terms of supporting acoustics, because if you can't hear, and many people with dementia experience hearing loss and impairment of one sort or another, then dancing and music doesn't feel the same. So we've got a wonderful sponsor who's coming along to help us do that. We've got technology, which is really interesting in terms of sort of cultural venues. So yes, come along and explore, because all of that is really there for all of our delegates to take part in.
Yeah, and it seems, with technology, I've got a friend who's living with dementia who he's always coming up with, have you seen this on artificial intelligence? And I'm just saying, how do you do that? How does that happen? And I think it's really a massive message that we're trying to get across on this show is that just because you've got a diagnosis, as you say, your abilities to be creative and do other things do not stop with that piece of paper.
Oh, AI can help you. I mean, on LinkedIn the other week, a colleague who I was involved with, a big technology project in with Canada, and he has gone the whole hog, and he's working with people living with dementia. And what they're doing is producing part of some memories that they hold within themselves, and they're being aided with AI to produce other memories, related memories, and he's calling this synthetic reminiscence. And I've written to Alexis and Alex and said, come on, tell me all about this, because it is absolutely fascinating, isn't it? Absolutely fascinating. So yes, I can't wait to see it. I think we should embrace it. I think we should remember where our values are as well, in terms of who we are. We're certainly not machines. But no, the potential is huge.
Well, that sounds right up our street. I'll talk to you more after the show about that. Sounds really interesting, Maria. It's been absolutely fascinating. I hope as many people as possible take advantage of getting down to the M Shed. And as we discussed before we came on air, there may be a possibility as well. We've got an international audience of people having a look at least of what's going on the 3rd of June and
Yes.
taking back some of the information, hopefully.
That's a good idea, Pete. In dementia community, its predecessors, certainly we were able to make presentations available. So, at least having some, it made me think, Pete, when you asked me that. I thought, well, a reading list, a set of web links. As I said, I've just finished co-editing and writing a book. So, why don't we share that? Because I think that would be helpful for a much wider audience.
Excellent. Look forward to it, Maria. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you.
Thanks to Maria. And if you want to find out more about the Creative Dementia Arts Network, then the best place to start is on their Facebook page. Well, that's all we have time for on this edition. Thanks for your company, and I hope you'll join me again for some more dementia talk right here on the D Word Podcast.